And next week, I'm going to be in Kansas City visiting my family, my dad. And so we're not going to have this message. We're going to have a different message next week. But we will finish the book on the first day of Advent. Isn't that something? So today, let's see, where have we been? Oh, my goodness. Let's go through them again. We had Loud Loretta and Sarah Sweetvoice. We had Rude Ronnie and Paul Polite. We had Selfish Sydney and Good-Hearted Gus. We had Whiny Wayne and Cheerful Chad. We had Hoggy Herman and Patty Please. We had Charlie Chatterbox and Lou Listener. We had Messy Melvin and Neat Ned, but we kind of kind of confessed last week that we were Messy Melvins, didn't we? And this week we had Meanie Marvin and Kenneth Kind. Are you ready? Meanie Marvin and Kenneth Kind. Okay, everybody look at me. Look at me. Beware of Meanie Marvin, because he likes to pick a fight. He'll punch and kick just anyone. I've even seen him bite. Now, Marvin could make friends if he would take some good advice. A bully is seldom popular, so couldn't you just be nice? Now, let's learn about Kenneth Kine, okay? A bully tried to pick a fight with kindly Ken last week. Ken didn't fight because Jesus said to turn the other cheek. So Kenneth asked, why not be friends? We could be if we tried. How about a game of hide and seek? Which one of us should hide? The bully squinched his eyes and thought, I guess it would be fun. I don't like playing by myself. Few games are meant for one. The bully finally sighed, okay, that game I wouldn't mind. And with those words, I'm sure God smiled. And so did Kenneth Kine. Okay, now let's think about Meanie Marvin and Kenneth Kine. Does anybody know a Meanie Marvin? Okay, no names, please. I think we all know Meanie Marvins, don't we? Okay. And does anybody know a Kenneth Kine? They're wonderful, aren't they? And do you think that maybe someone would say you are a Kenneth Kine? I hope so. Because if we're Christians, if we say we're Christians, we need to be Kenneth Kine. Now, who do you think has friends? Do you think Meanie Marvin has many friends? Why? Question. Because he's all mean. That's right. Mean. That's right. Years ago, there was a saying that you can catch more flies with honey than you can with vinegar. And that meant that you have many more friends and a better life if you're sweet than if you're ugly. Yes. Did you want to say something? Okay. Did you forget? Okay. All right. That's right. Meanie Marvin has more friends, but doesn't have friends, but Kenneth Kine has many friends, and people like to be around Kenneth Kine. Let's hear what the Word of God has to say about this in the Gospel of Matthew. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That means that if anybody's mean to you, the Lord doesn't want you to be mean back. He wants you to be kind back. Okay, and sometimes the people who are mean to you when you're kind back, they get to be your very, very best friend. It's true. So let's pray that the Lord would help us to be like Kenneth Kine and not Meanie Marvin, and that we would be kind to Meanie Marvin. Let's bow our heads and pray. Hands folded, eyes closed. Well, Father God, all of us know Meanie Marvins, and maybe some of us have even been a Meanie Marvin, and we pray that you would help us. Help us to always be kind, and be kind to the Meanie Marvins that we know. And Father, we pray that you would always give us sweet words and a gentle outlook with our friends, because, Lord, we want to always help them know about you, and we can only do that if we're kind and gentle. So, Father, we pray by your Holy Spirit that you would help us to act the way that we're supposed to act as your children. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Okay. Who's got junior church today? Oh, Sherry, would you grab the basket, please? You know, a couple years back when the Duns and John and I went to Ireland, I got some books before we went on the trip, and in those books some of the books included information on Wales and England and Scotland. And before we went, I was looking through those books, but I remember something that really caught my eye. In one of those books, it says that there is a little hotel that sits right on the border between Scotland and England. And it says when you come up from the south, that there is a sign that reads, "This is the last hotel in England." And a few yards away, there's another sign that says, "This is the first hotel in Scotland." So it's the last hotel in England and the first hotel in Scotland. Now, whether it is the last hotel or the first hotel really depends on your point of view. Now, we are nearing the end of the year. And according to Hollywood, and according to the Mayan calendar, we are nearing the end of the world. And truthfully, as we look around at what's happening in our country, more and more people are getting more and more interested in the future. People are seeing something ending or something beginning, depending on their point of view. Now, optimists predict that finally we are going to have a new renaissance with all kinds of new solutions to old problems. Some who really like what's going on in our country and in the world believe that we as Americans are finally going to get it right. Well, others of us think that that's naive at best and delusional at worst. In governments without Christ, there are many miracles that would need to happen, and quite honestly, we have no say. But let's look at our own lives, where we do have a say. Let me ask you, do you have an optimistic attitude about your own personal future? Is this the first day of the rest of your life? Or is it the last day of the first of your life? If you were in the military, would they be playing reveille or would they be playing taps? we tell graduates during commencement exercises that finishing high school isn't an end, it's a beginning. In fact, the word commencement means to have a beginning, to initiate, to enter upon, to start. Now, we've all seen cartoons with pictures of scruffy bearded men carrying sandwich posters that say the end is near. And for the world, I personally believe that's true. But in the living of your life, is this the beginning of the end, or is it the end of the beginning? In our scripture lesson this morning, from the Gospel of Mark, we are reminded of just how proud the Jews were of their temple. It was their crowning achievement. And Jesus' disciples were fascinated by how magnificent it was. Now imagine how shocked they were when Jesus informed them that the building that they were admiring so much and that they valued so much didn't mean anything. Not only did it mean anything, it was going to be demolished. You see, it depended on a point of view. The Jewish leaders defiled the temple. Jesus would leave the temple, and the Romans would destroy the temple. Now, when Jesus and the disciples were away from the crowds, the disciples asked him, when is it going to happen? And what's going to let us know that it's going to happen? They were confused, but their questions, you see, gave Jesus an opportunity to prophesy about end times. In academics, this part of Scripture has a name. This part of Scripture is called the Olivet Discourse. Now, actually, all of the 13th chapter of Mark is called the Olivet Discourse, and it speaks of the beginning and the middle and the end of the tribulation. Now Jesus said, "Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and deceive many. Nations will rise against nation. There will be earthquakes and famines, and these are the beginning of birth pains. It would come suddenly, build up gradually, and lead to a time of tribulation for the whole world. Now, Jesus listed the things that we shouldn't take as signs of his imminent coming, but just as an indication that the tribulation is just beginning, like birth pains. And the signs are false Christs, nations in conflict, natural disasters, and religious persecutions. Now, you can take that where you want to. But the tribulation scares a lot of us. It scares a lot of people in our country that don't have the right point of view. You know, birth pains are what happens during childbirth. They also refer to disorder and distress, even social chaos. But we have to wonder, don't we, why Jesus would choose words that give us an image of childbirth and not an image of death. It was his point of view. Think about this for a minute. Could it be that Jesus was looking beyond the tribulation to give us a word of hope? Beyond the tribulation, Jesus saw a beginning. The promise of a new heaven and a new earth. He saw his own second coming. A time when God would avenge the faithful. A time when God would have the final, ultimate victory. Now, change is always painful. Even when change causes something wonderful to be born, it is still painful. Ask anyone who's had a baby. And change is almost always disruptive. Something has to be uprooted before it can be replaced. Something has to be picked before something new can be planted. You can read about it in Ecclesiastes. Some things even have to be broken before they can be fixed. But change, when it results in something wonderful being born, is totally worth it. In our world of change, we have a world of pain. What if, for a moment, we stopped dwelling and focusing on the pain and started to focus on what follows? What if we looked at what's happening in this world like it isn't the end? What if we looked at what's happening in this world like it's a beginning? Now, I can tell you, when Greg, which is our youngest son, graduated from Schuylkill-Haven, it wasn't really that long after 9/11. And he had applied to West Point. He would not consider any other academy. And even though my father was a colonel in the Air Force, he was only applying to West Point. He fulfilled every requirement. So that year, when West Point had a record number of applicants, Greg was put on a waiting list. Finally, his classification came back qualified, but not chosen. He was devastated. I had never seen him so dejected and hurt in all of his life. He didn't eat. He didn't sleep. He didn't laugh. And if you know Greg, that's unusual. I said mom supported things. We know what they are, don't you? I said pastor faith things. God has a different plan. And I was pretty confident that God was going to surprise him. But honestly, as a mother, it was so painful to see him go through it. But I just didn't know how God was going to pull it out of the number. And I just didn't see how God was going to improve on a career that began at West Point. So even though we had many other options, Greg settled for Penn State. I'm going to get beat up for that later. He did the engineering thing at Penn State. He did his internships through Penn State. And at the beginning of his last semester, he went to a job fair. The Department of Defense was there. Greg went to talk to them, and they informed him that all of their interview spots for 2 days were taken. But the fellow asked Greg his name. He plugged Greg's name into the computer. Then he went behind a screen, and a little while he came back and he informed Greg that all other interviews had been canceled. And he asked him how he would like to move to Virginia. No kidding. It was just like that. The Department of Defense had a record of Greg. Now, the reason I tell you that story is to illustrate a point. What if, when we saw one chapter closing in our lives, whatever it is, you know, job, relationships, situations, what if when we saw one chapter closing in our lives, we knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that we were beginning a new one? What difference would it make in your life if every ending instead you saw as a possibility for a great new beginning? What difference would that make in your life? What difference would it make in your life if you changed your point of view to not see death, but to see birth? What difference would that make in your life? In every circumstance of life, even though rarely, I have to tell you, we can see it with our human eyes, the Lord assures us that there is a new beginning. You know, we as modern Americans, we give up way too easy. I mean, we don't even know what hard is. We throw our hands up in despair, you know. Oh my goodness, we throw our hands up in despair in our lives. We throw our hands up in despair in our country. It's no use, it's no use. Well, let me tell you something. There was a young boy with an IQ of 81, and he was considered way too backward for school. He was emotionally a mess. He burned down his father's barn. He was partially deaf. But you know what? Thomas Edison did pretty good for himself. Do you know that one of the most valued Protestant theologians of all time wrote his best and most profound works after the age of 74? Let's just talk about Michelangelo. He completed his finest work at the age of 87. Good thing he was laying down. Even the worst of things that happen to people have great possibilities for good. It depends on your point of view. Every problem, every challenge has the possibility of some benefit. It depends on your point of view. No matter who you are, no matter how old you are, no matter what your circumstance, God is not done with you yet. If you're still breathing, and if you weren't, you would not be in the sanctuary this morning. Now, the Christians who read Mark's gospel eventually did have to face terrible persecutions from Rome. They did. But this message encouraged them, and the reason it encouraged them is, after all, if God is able to help his people witness and share the truth during the Great Tribulation, which is the worst persecution of them all, then surely he could strengthen the saints in Rome. And surely he can strengthen the saints in McKeesburg. You know, we Christians today, as of yet, have not had to experience the terrible suffering that's described in the Olivet Discourse. But we have, and we will, face our shares of tribulations and persecution before the Lord returns. And so what we read in Mark does seem way too familiar to us. Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains, but you see, God has the last word. And he shared it with John, who shares it with us in Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Let's bow our heads. Father God, if we were not a people of faith, we could be concerned and we could fret over those things we see going on around us. But Lord, we know you have it covered. So Father, our concern is for ourselves and our lives and our behavior and our witness for you. We pray, Lord, that we would live holy and upright lives in the midst of the heathen, and that we would be a beacon of the light of Christ into a dark and dying world until that day when we see you face to face. Amen.